Good morning, Faith Community. How are you? It is good to come together today. We've already sung the gospel in our songs. We've sung it out beautifully, I might add. It's a joy to be here and to sing together. But we're supposed to do more than just sing the gospel out. That's a lot of what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about how to shine the light, how to live out the gospel, not just sing it here, but it's all good. And it's all right. So will you pray with me? Let's seek the Lord. Let's welcome the Lord Jesus. We each need Him. I need Him today. Lord, You know what's going on in every life here. There's nothing that escapes You. Lord, things that sneak up on us and scare us. Lord, nothing scares You. Nothing sneaks up on You. And Lord, we're all coming in here today from different places. Lord, there's different things going on in our lives. Lord, we have different struggles. We have different joys. Some of us are walking through hard things. There are heavy things. Some of us are knowing a real lightness in our step as we're just resting in You. It doesn't seem like there's anything particularly hard at this moment. Well, Lord, wherever we are, Lord, I pray that You'd help each one of us, me included, Lord, to come to You. Lord, we need You. Help us to lay our lives, our hearts out before You. Lord, we want You to have Your way in us. We want You to not just be Savior. We want You to be Lord, to be King, to be Master, to be enthroned. And how we think on the inside and how we live and speak outwardly. Lord, please help us today. Lord, as we walk through Your Word, Holy Spirit, teach us. Lord, we love You, but mostly we thank You for loving us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want us to play a little game this morning. You guys game? You guys ready? You guys good? Anybody remember that old TV show, Name That Tune? Remember that? So now I was singing up here just a few weeks ago, so don't get used to this. And please come back to church here again. But I'm going to sing a little song. And as soon, if you know the song, and many of you will know the song. As soon as you know the song, I just want you to start singing with me. Okay, you guys willing? You guys game? Still trying to wake up a little bit? This will help us a little bit maybe. So here we go, you ready? This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Shine, let it shine. Amen. Well done. You know what? That's a simple little children's song. It's not really for children. It's really for everyone. It's for every one of us. The simple truth of that song really is scriptural, and it's where we're going today in Mark chapter 4. If you want to open up there, we'll have some scripture up on the screen for you, but if you want to go to Mark chapter 4, you'll see where we're going. We're going to be just in five verses this morning. Mark 4, verses 21 through 25. And while you're going there, I want to remind you where we've been. You know, just last week we had John Tolbert. He just loved us well. He glorified the Lord. He was good for my soul. And he actually preached about a few things we're going to touch on today. But the few weeks before John Tolbert was here last week preaching to us, we took 3 weeks and we walked through the parable of the soils. Remember the first part of Mark chapter 4, the parable of the soils. And remember, the whole heartbeat of that parable, Jesus gives the parable, and then He explains the parable. And the whole heartbeat of the parable is about how hearts respond to God. Specifically, how they respond to His Word. But that was the whole heartbeat. Well, that's the immediate preceding context of where we're going today. And I don't think that that's a coincidence. I think the Holy Spirit moved Mark to write these things down the way He did for our benefit. So today where we're going to go, we're going to talk about this little light of ours and how we can let it shine. All right, that's where we're headed today. So I've got two big ideas for you today. We're going to walk through the scripture, and then there's really just two major ideas for us today. So let's just walk through the scripture together. So Mark 4, starting with 21, and He was saying to them, a lamp is not brought to be put under a basket, is it? Or under a bed? Is it not brought to be put on the lampstand? For nothing is hidden except to be revealed. Nor has anything been secret, but that it would come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he was saying to them, take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you, and more will be given you besides. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and whoever does not have, even what he has, shall be taken away from him. So you're going to walk through just those five verses, and all the way through, I want you to remember, I want you to keep close to hand that the preceding context, which I really think helps us here, is the heart's response to God through His Word. Plain and simple, how does my heart, is my heart a good, fertile soil? Remember, the last verse right before this in verse 20 says that the good soil hears the Word, accepts the Word, receives it. In other words, it's soft, deep, rich soil. And so when that seed of God's Word comes, it finds a home. It can put down good roots, come up and be strong. And remember, the whole point, bearing fruit, fruitfulness. So let's keep that in mind. So the first big idea, as we look at the first two verses here, first big idea, it's a command. Let your light shine. Now, Jesus doesn't say it exactly as a command here, but elsewhere he does, and we'll look at some scripture later. But first big picture, let's just walk through verse 21 and 22. He says, and he was saying to them, a lamp is not brought to be put under a basket, is it, or under a bed? So John Tolbert actually touched on this a little bit last week. The lamps that they used were generally terracotta. It would be just an open dish. It could be a little enclosed thing with a little handle and a little spout for a wick. It was very simple. It was just a vessel to hold oil and have a wick that came out from there. It could even just lay across the dish. They would light that wick and it would give light. Well, what Jesus says here, he doesn't even explain. It's a truism. We all understand. So the way we would say it today, you don't walk into a room and turn the light on only to close your eyes. You don't walk into a room and turn the light on to then throw a blanket over the light. That doesn't make any sense because the whole point of light is to shine out. That's the whole point of light. The very nature of light is to shine out, dispel darkness, and give vision to those who are there, to give vision, sight, to all who are in the room. So what he says here is pretty simple, but of course he's not just talking about a physical lamp. He says, not to be put under a basket. That basket would be like a peck measure. Okay, I know there's a lot of people here, and I've mentioned, you know, of course, growing garden stuff. It'd be like a peck basket, just put right over top of that light. Of course, it would hide the light, and it would catch the peck measure, catch the basket on fire as well. It just doesn't make any sense. You wouldn't do that. And the beds that they slept in, the Hebrews at the time, Israel, they didn't really sleep on beds like we think of, raised up off the ground. The Romans did. They would have been familiar. It seems like this is what Jesus is referring to. You don't take a lamp and light the lamp and then hide it under a dark spot where it gives light, but it doesn't help you and could actually catch the bed on fire. So he's just saying that doesn't make any sense. He goes in verse 22 and he says, for nothing is hidden except to be revealed. Nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been secret but that it would come to light. In Psalm 119, 105, we looked at this verse a few weeks ago. There's a real popular song that Amy Grant sang, like 35 years ago. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That's the idea here. So when Jesus, and that picture of the word as a light or the word as a lamp, it's very common, Old Testament and New Testament, both. So here, when Jesus is talking about a lamp, he's taking this simple physical idea and he's saying something more than something physical. He's saying, how we respond to the Word. The Word is our light. The gospel is the light. And how we respond to it and what we do with it matters because light is intended to shine out. Simple principle, right? Simple principle. The command is shine the light. Let it go. When I was a kid, I can't remember if it was a birthday or Christmas, but this would have been maybe 1974-ish. And I think it was in my mom's sewing room, and I was doing something. I don't know. I was digging around, playing. I don't know if I was looking for something. Well, I found something that was hidden. I found something that looked a lot like this picture. It was this racetrack. It had little guys on motorcycles, and they were up at the top of the track, and then you drop the little gate, and then they race down, and I was enamored. I had wanted something like this for quite some time, and I found it, and I knew it was for me. And so I, of course, went downstairs and I told my mom and dad that I had found this thing. Well, guess what happened? I never saw it again in my life. See, the context here, the idea is things are hidden for the purpose of being revealed at the right time and in the right way. So the idea is that what had been hidden, the idea of salvation through Jesus, by grace through faith, it's come to light and it wants to shine out. It's time for it to be unhidden. It's time for it to be revealed. The time for it to be hidden is not now. So there's this idea, this picture, that light increases responsibility. That's what J. Vernon McGee said. He said, light increases responsibility. Light brings responsibility. If I have the light, of necessity, I have to shine that light out. I can't keep it to myself. That's the nature of the light. That's what Jesus is talking about when he says, you don't light a lamp and put it under a basket. The point of light is to shine out. Jesus is talking about the Word of God and the Gospel. You'll remember, so Martin Luther, not Martin Luther King Jr., but Martin Luther, the original guy, 499 years ago, next year will be 500 years ago, that the Reformation began, right? 1517, you remember Martin Luther? He was a Catholic, and he was a Catholic priest or brother, you know, leader there. And he's reading the scriptures, and he is struck when he comes to grace, that we're saved by grace through faith. Because that's not what he'd been taught, and it's not what he taught. It's not what the church at that time taught. Remember, all there was at that time in Europe, it was just the Catholic Church. I'm not trying to deride the Catholic Church here. But he comes across the scriptural idea of salvation that's through faith, not through work. And the specific idea, he was incensed by this idea called indulgences. Remember that? You might have studied that in history a long time ago. Indulgences. The way indulgences were supposed to work was, so I've got sin. Well, I would put money into the church coffers, and they would tell me, well, now your sin has been taken away because you put money in the church coffers. For real. For real. Now, we just gave an offering, but we know our offering doesn't take away our sin. God offered Jesus, and he takes our sin away. Well, Martin Luther was struck by this reality. There's a fellow named William Barclay, who the Bible scholar. And this is what he said about Martin Luther when he posted these 95 theses or 95 ideas or truths kind of against this idea of that you can somehow buy or sell forgiveness for sin. It only comes through Jesus, by grace through faith. That's what he'd become convinced of, which of course is scriptural. So he goes and he takes this long list of these 95 theses and he nails it to the door of this big church. On the highest, holiest time of the year, day of the year, the biggest Sunday of the year, which is All Saints Day, October 31st. Now, that's our church calendar is a little different these days. We celebrate Christ Mass and Easter more than that. But at that time, that was the biggest attendance day of the whole year. And that day, Martin Luther posts up these 95. Basically, he creates a firestorm. And we are still riding that firestorm today, because we preach the gospel of Jesus by grace through faith. That's how we know we receive Christ, not by giving money to a church. No church can forgive sin, God alone. So this is what William Barclay said about Martin Luther posting these 95 theses on the door. He says, if Martin Luther had been a man with an eye on safety, if he'd been a man with an eye on safety, he never would have nailed them to the church door. He says, and if Martin Luther had to nail them to the door with any thought of personal safety, he would never have chosen All Saints' Day to make his declaration. But Luther felt that he had discovered the truth, and his one thought was to display the truth and to align his life with it. Man, I love that last line. He says, Martin Luther got the truth, and the truth got him. And he was compelled by God to do two things, to align his life with the truth and then get the word out about the truth. See, the light got a hold of Martin Luther, and Martin Luther had to shine the light. He couldn't keep it in. And his life was in jeopardy until the day he died. It was actually the church. It was actually the Catholic Church that wanted to take him out. So for you and for me, this idea that we have the light, if you're in Jesus, The light has come into your life. That's true enlightenment, by the way. Not academic, not what happened a few years ago. This is the real enlightenment. When we become turned on to the truth of who Jesus is and we welcome Him and what He's done, that's the light getting into us. But the nature of light is to shine out. So when Jesus says, you don't light a lamp and put it under a basket, He's saying, when the light gets a hold of you, you have responsibility to get that light out. So the first idea, let your light shine. The first two verses, okay? The last three verses, okay? Big idea. It's not a command, it's a principle. It's a principle. Faithfulness brings growth. Faithfulness brings growth. But as we look at this principle, I want you to keep in mind the context. Faithfulness in what? I receive the light, and what is the natural outworking of my receiving the light? I shine the light outward. That's the heartbeat of where Jesus is going here. Faithfulness brings growth. These last three verses. In verse 23, He says, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Remember, we saw that back in verse 9. Remember, Jesus gave the parable of the four soils, and then He stops, and He explains some things to His disciples. And the first thing He says in verse 9 is, if you got ears, hear. And of course, He's not talking about ears. He's talking about hearts. No different here. So He talks about the light and how when the light comes in, now there's a burden in me that says, I got to let the light come out. I can't keep it in. He says, if you got ears, hear. Then He goes on in verse 24, He says, take care what you listen to. The way Luke says it, Luke says, take care how you listen. But the point is, He says, take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you, and more will be given you besides. The idea in the Greek, when He says, take care, you know what? It's a simple verb. It's the verb to see. It's a command form. He says, see how you listen. Okay, hold on. What do you mean, Jesus? He's simply saying, we are responsible with what comes in. If I've received the light, I'm now responsible to bear the light. That's what He's saying. There's a dynamic at work in receiving the light, and now I can't keep it in. Because the nature of light is to shine outward. The nature of light is to shine out. John MacArthur, he said this. He said, inherent in receiving the light is letting it shine. Built into receiving the light is letting it shine. He goes on, he says, inherent in being given the true seed planted in your own life is to take that seed as it grows, harvest the seed, and scatter it far and wide. He goes on to say, in other words, you have an obligation to let the light of the gospel shine brightly. If you are in Jesus, if you have received the light, then you have an obligation to shine the light brightly. Well, what's that mean, to shine the light brightly? It could mean lots of different things, lots of different ways. Let's look at the last verse. He says in verse 25, for whoever has, to him more shall be given. Whoever does not have, even what he has, shall be taken away from him. So I had this professor, Sharon and I had this professor up at Word of Life Bible Institute. His name was Marshall Wicks. Anybody know Marshall Wicks? Most Word of Lifers are going to know Marshall Wicks. He is now Dr. Marshall. When we were there, he was not doctor yet. He is now Dr. Marshall. I have to kiss his ring next time I see him. But Marshall Wicks used to tell this story. And I really, this story has helped me so much. And it also resonates because, well, it's got food in it. All right? So he tells a story about pumpkin pie. Now, where I'm from, it's usually pronounced pumpkin, not pumpkin. So this is a story about pumpkin pie. So Marshall Wicks told this story. He said, and this works for me too. I actually do make pumpkin pie, and I like pumpkin pie. It's not my favorite. My wife's apple pie is probably my favorite pie. Again, I'm not asking for pies. I have to be careful. You remember I told you, Sharon said, when I mention food or vegetables, something from the pulpit, it's like a superpower, and people start giving me. Now, if you want to bring me some pumpkin pie, I will gladly eat your pumpkin pie. Just a disclaimer. So this is the story. Let's say I make some pumpkin pie. Now, I like to bake. I really do. I like to make pumpkin pie. Let's say I make a pumpkin pie. And I say, hey, I love you. Because I love you, I'd like to share some of my pumpkin pie with you. Would you like some of my pumpkin pie? And let's say you kind of think about it for a minute and you say, well, you know, maybe. And I think, well, shoot, I'm not gonna give you a big old piece of pie like that. If you're kind of maybe and on my pumpkin pie is good and I like it, I'll eat the whole thing. So you say, well, maybe. And I say, okay, well, I'll give you just a little sliver. I cut off just a little tiny piece, not as big as that piece. I cut off a little piece, and then I give it to you, and you take your fork, and you kind of turn it, and you take the very pointy end, and you just get that little bitty tiny piece, and you taste it, and you kind of go, not so much, Mike. Let me ask you, am I going to give you any more pumpkin pie? No. Now let's flip it for a minute. Let's say I come to you and I say, I made this pumpkin pie and I love you. I want to share my pumpkin pie with you. Do you want a piece of my pumpkin pie? And you say, yeah, boy, howdy. Right? And I can see you start to salivate, And you say, I'd love a piece of your pumpkin pie, Mike. Well, I'm going to cut you a big old piece, right? Because people that cook, they love it when people like their food. And you take a bite of that pumpkin pie and you can't shovel it in fast enough. Am I going to offer you more of my pumpkin pie? Right after I take a bite of myself, then I'll offer you some more, right? Well, the point of this picture, I love this. This helps me so much. It's kind of like God. When God gives me something to do, let's say God says, Mike, I want you to start praying for your neighbor. I want you to start praying for your neighbor to come to know my son, Jesus. And I want you to start praying for opportunities to shine the light of the living God into his life, with your life and with your words. Now, if God says that to me, and I say, well, God, that sounds like some serious spiritual work, and I've got stuff to do. I gotta read the Bible, I gotta check that off. I gotta go to work, I gotta write a sermon, God, I don't have time to do that right now. This is my real life. We've all got stuff to do that can get in the way. But if God says to me, Mike, I want you to pray for your neighbor. There's no more important thing that you could do as a neighbor and acquaintance of that man next to you than help him. If possible, if I should so use you in that way, Mike, there's no higher calling in your life as a follower of mine than to shine the light into that guy's life with your life and your words. And if I take that piece of pumpkin pie from God and I say, yeah, not so much, I'm probably not going to grow. I'm probably not going to grow. And God's not going to offer me too much more pumpkin pie because I turned my nose up at what he's already offered me. God wants me to love and revel and rejoice in what he has for me. And I got to tell you, there's no greater thing. The reason that I'm a pastor, for real, the reason that I get to talk to people about Jesus. That's my job. Oh my goodness. You mean I can get paid for this? That's awesome. You know what? It's the job of everyone who's received the light to shine the light. That's what he's called us to do. And if we then in turn, if when God says, here's what I've got for you. If I say, not so much, it stunts my growth. And I cannot be, remember that parable of the soils? I cannot be fruitful the way he intends. If I turn my nose up at what he has for me, the way he wants to work in me and then through me, that's what Jesus made us for. I wasn't in here on the front end of this service, but John in first service, the way he started off the service, did you do it second service too? The way he started off first service, this is what he said. He said, God is in the business of making worshipers. That's what God is doing. He is making worshipers. And John drives right on. And then we get to be a part of helping God make other worshipers of God. Could there be a higher calling? This is not about being a pastor. This is about being a follower of Jesus, one who has the light, then passes it on. And if we don't, when we don't, we cannot grow. We cannot grow. If I say to God, okay, I know that you want me to do this. You've called me to obey you, but I won't. If I haven't obeyed the last standing order, I'm not getting new orders anytime soon. I got kids, and Sharon and I, we got kids. I didn't do it by myself. You know, when I call my kids, sometimes I kind of confess this in first service. I told John that he could counsel me later. Sometimes I'll call my kids and I'll intentionally use a very even tone because I don't want them to know why I'm calling them. So kids, there you go. I love you. There it is. It's all wherever wherever you are. Kids, I love you and forgive me. But you know, here's the deal. Here's what I want to do. When I call my kids, I want them to come to me. Not because they think I've got pumpkin pie for them or some other treat or good thing for them. And I don't want them to come to me kind of going, oh man, he's going to give us another chore, although they do that often probably because I give them chores often. I want my kids to come because they trust my love for them. I want them to come. The best reason I can think to obey my Heavenly Father is because I trust His love for me. So even if the thought of shining the light of Jesus is scary, isn't He good for it? Is there anything He can't take care of? There's nothing. There's nothing in my life or your life. There's no fear in your life that's trying to undo you or get you off the rails of following Jesus closely that Jesus can't handle in your life if you'll welcome Him into that place. There's not one. There's not a place like that in your life or my life. Proverbs 2. I was reading Proverbs, as I've been mentioning, as I'm still just walking through the Proverbs on my own and with my family. Proverbs 2, 1 through 5. This is so great. My son, if you will receive my words, look, there it is. It's the very same principle from the parable of the soils. It's the same thing that we're seeing in these verses. My son, if you'll receive my words, if you'll welcome me, if you'll receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. I love that picture of inclining our hearts. Psalm 119:36 says, Lord, incline my heart to your testimonies. You know what that means? It means bend. It means, Lord, help me to make my heart leaning into you, not away from, not looking askance at you. But Lord, if you call me to it, you'll give me what I need. You'll see me through it. I'll follow you. I'll follow you. Lord, you've given me the light. You know, we just sang it. And can it be? You know, the whole idea of that, the whole idea of that song is, this is a crazy prospect. God, you would save me? Oh, I can't keep this to myself. This is too good. That's the idea. That's the idea that he wants us to catch. He says, incline your heart to understanding. God to the Father to the Son. He says, incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and treasure and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. I want that. Do you want that? The fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God. He says, then lean into me. Don't do this. Don't come to me like this. Come trusting. I love you like you can't understand. And if you're fearful of shining the light out, you welcome me into that spot. Bring it to me because I've got what you need. I am who you need. And I can be your strength. Trust me. Trust me. Shine the light. In Matthew, we got these words from Jesus. He says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Same idea as what we're reading. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. And now verse 16. You're probably a little familiar with it. Let your light shine before men. Now, if he had stopped right there, right? If he just said, let your light shine before men, you know, we might be able to kind of squeak by with semi-obedience or something. We could rationalize things pretty easily, but that's not where he stops. He says, let your light shine before men in such a way. In other words, this way. I want you to shine your light this way. This is what it should look like when you shine your light in this way, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. Live out and speak out the gospel in such a way. Let the light shine through you in such a way that people will see your life and say, God is real. I should worship Him. He deserves my life too. There's no higher calling. There's no higher calling for you or for me as one who's received the light than to shine the light, to get it out. There's no middle ground. The founder of Word of Life, Jack Wurtzen, he said it this way. He said, you are either a missionary or a mission field. You are either a missionary or a mission field. That's strong words. He's right. Because remember, the nature of light is what? Can the light come in and just stay? The nature of light is when it comes in, it wants to shine outward. That's the nature of the beast. That is the gospel. So that's the way Jack Wurtzen said it. Charles Spurgeon. I was about to say Chuck Swindoll. Charles Spurgeon, who many people would say is the best English preacher that's been around since Jesus. He said it this way. He said, every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. It's pretty strong words. But remember what he means by missionary. He doesn't mean what we think of it, you know, capital M, like John and Beverly Tolbert were here last week. Well, they're missionaries. No, he means the way the Bible preaches. When Jesus talks to his followers, he doesn't say, now some of y'all should go shine the light, and the rest of y'all should stay at home and send those that are going to shine the light. And that's not what he says, is it? He says, wait in Jerusalem until power has come from on high, and then you shall be my witnesses. You know what a witness does? A witness is not in charge of making anybody do anything. All a witness does is what? Give testimony. That's all a witness does. All our job is to live out and speak out the testimony about who Jesus is. Right? We're just mailmen. We just deliver the letter. We're not responsible to make sure they open it up and do something with it. But let's be faithful. And as we are faithful, we will grow. And others will see the light of Jesus. Pretty cool deal. So why are we so embarrassed? Why are we so reluctant? I feel it too. Yes, I'm a preacher, and I feel it too sometimes. I do. Why is that? What are we scared of? Why do we hold back? What's holding you back from shining the light of Jesus where you work? Now, I believe the best thing we could do is where we work is that we would have such a strong work ethic that we would be so kind to our coworkers that even if our Jesus is odious to them, that they will not be able to argue against the strength of our life. That would be shining the light of Jesus in my workplace. What about in your home? The hardest place, I believe the hardest place to truly live out the gospel is in your own home. I really do. Right? In your own home, in my own home, where I say, well, you know, I'm going to let my hair down. Figuratively speaking, of course. I can relax here. I don't really have to be on here. No, there's never a time when I shouldn't be on my game spiritually. There's never a time when Jesus doesn't want me to follow him closely and love him well and love others well and die to myself and live to him. There's never a time. That would be living out the gospel, shining the light right there in my own home. That's what he's got for us. You know, some of us need to speak up. We need to speak up proclaiming the grace and truth that we believe intellectually. Some of us are out there, we're loving, we're serving, but we have a hard time getting the words out. What we know and believe and grab a hold of in our heart, we have a hard time getting those words out. Some of us need to speak up and speak out. And then some of us need to speak a little less and give more attention to how we live out the grace and truth that are in Jesus. But all of us can grow here, me included. All of us can grow here. As we follow in faithfulness, he grows us. Great story. Then we're going to take the Lord's Supper. This morning, I'm out there in the lobby, and Burt Young walks up to me. And the first thing Burt says, have you met my son, Zach? So his older son and daughter-in-law, Stephanie, and their kids came in town and surprised the Youngs. I mean, Beth is about in tears all morning. So sweet. First thing Burt says to me, have you met my son, Zach? I love that. I mean, he loves that boy. Amen. That's the way it's supposed to be. And so I said, hey, Zach, I'm Mike. We shook hands. We talked for a moment. And then Bert says, "Hey, we were coming down through Pennsylvania yesterday from a steam engine show, and we went into a restaurant, and I talked to the hostess, and I gave her a tract about Jesus." You know what a tract is, right? It's a little tiny pamphlet, usually, that just introduces someone to the gospel message, that simply tells them, there's a Savior named Jesus who paid for your sin, and if you'll receive what He's done on the cross, if you'll take that into your life, then you can have life with God that starts here and now. Eternal life starting here and now. And he told me, he said, the hostess told me, well, I don't need that, but I'll give it to somebody who does. And he said, so you know the Lord? She said, I'm your sister in Christ. And Bert's telling me about this with excitement and joy. That's what I love the most. Man, it shouldn't be a burden for us. If it's a burden for us to consider, remember, somebody shared the light with you. Somebody had to speak to you about Jesus. Somebody had to live out and show some power to you. And now you've been called into service. Just because you're a follower of Jesus, you have been called into service to shine the light. So we're going to take the Lord's Supper. I'm asking the brothers to come on down. We're going to take the Lord's Supper. Now, the Lord's Supper is not about this in particular, but I want you to think response. I want you to think response. Lord, what is my response to you? Remember, the whole context, so far the whole fourth chapter of Mark is about a heart's response to Jesus, specifically through His Word. So as we take the cup and the bread, I want you to consider, remember, the bread and the cup is about much more than being faithful to shine the light. But this is fair. This is valid. Remember, the heartbeat of the Lord's Supper is to remember. Right? It's when we remember what Jesus Christ has done, what He's accomplished for us, what He's put to our account. It's a time to be thankful and grateful. But it's also a time, we're told, to examine ourselves and to see that we don't take the bread and the cup in an unworthy manner. I think part of that unworthy is if there's a part of me that says, well, Jesus, I got this problem, but you can't help me with it. What? In Jeremiah, the 32nd chapter, God asks and answers this question. He says, is there anything too difficult for me? In the same chapter, he says, I'm the God of all flesh. There's nothing too difficult for me. If you struggle here, bring your heart to Jesus. Say, Jesus, help me. You've given me the light. You've come into me. Lord, let me shine you out. And this is not just about that. But there's nothing that you can't welcome Jesus into. There's no problem in your life or in my life that Jesus isn't bigger than that problem. So as we take the bread and the cup, I want you to consider, Lord, how do I respond to you? As I remember you, as I remember what you've done, how do I respond to you? How can I be pleasing to you in a practical sense? How can I follow you in faithfulness and grow?